Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, our final hour of the week. Will we have, what did you learn this week on the show in one sentence? That's a question. That's a question that we'll have. We do have callers. Chris is up first. Been waiting, shortest wait times ever, historically. Chris is here. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Hey, we talked about the Texans earlier and all the people they have to re-sign that are quality players. And Lance, I wanted your opinion on Nick Caserio. So obviously, I feel like a GM is a two-part job, right? You got to draft right, and then you got to keep what you draft. We haven't had this problem in a long time because we never really wanted to keep a lot of what we drafted. So how do you balance, like, giving him, you know, is it a twofold grade? You give him, he's obviously been well in the draft, but then obviously figuring out how to work these contracts. That's kind of my first question. And then secondly, when Mogetta and the Texans folks are talking through contracts, how do the Texans address CJ's performance without maybe offending him? Because I feel like quarterbacks these days, like Deshaun and CJ, maybe some others, are really easily offended. And so being truthful about performance, so we don't give him, you know, $70 million a year, but also not offending. Do you maybe have any insight in your, you know, NFL None. Experience, like how those conversations might go?
John's got more insight into baseball. First of all, you keep the quarterbacks, you keep the players out of the contract discussions as much as possible. But I know, John, you've talked about that in the past with baseball, with arbitration, where you're having to do that every single year.
Chris doesn't want to hear from me. Go ahead, you go.
But I have no idea how they handle it. I mean, if you're in contract negotiations, well, I have talked to agents about it. I mean, they don't talk to the players directly. They talk to the agents, and I guess the agent can share stuff if they want. And they probably do sometime, and that's when it gets a little bit nasty. But I don't know. The agents will get into it. I talked to agents who said they've been in screaming matches, like with Joe Banner. I had a friend of mine who has been in screaming matches with Joe Banner when he was running everything with Philadelphia. And I've actually talked to a few agents who have had some issues with them. And slam the phone down, you hang up, and then it's like you have to have a short memory. You got to get on the phone, and you still have to do deals with them. You still have to get the You got to come back and try to get a deal done. You talk with your other free agents. So Mogetta's got a lot of clients. He'll have clients that will have to come through and deal with Nick Caserio in the future. So I don't know. Like, Chris, honestly, I have no idea how that's a good question. You still have to advocate for your side if you think that a player is not worth a certain amount of money. But I really don't know how that goes down, to be honest with you. I mean, I have no idea how you handle that. As for the other one, the way I judge Nick and every general manager is how they draft and then how they build a roster. And some guys don't draft great, but they still build rosters well. They still do a good job with street free agents. Like Rick Smith did poorly on day two. He was very good on day one, not as good on day two, actually really struggled on day two, was very good at finding street free agents. Ultimately, isn't it about just building a roster? Like, how good is your team? So that's when people get caught up in a GM missing on a draft pick, but then they don't really give them credit for, like, yeah, sometimes you miss on a pick, but you'll hit on another pick. But how did you build a roster? So I think the final assessment should just be, how good is your roster? How good is your roster? Because how you build the roster, you know, and how long can you sustain a good roster too? It's one thing to have a good roster for a year. Like in baseball and sometimes basketball, these good rosters may only last, if you're just grabbing free agents all the time, that stuff can change pretty quickly on you. So I don't know. That's how I think Nick's done I think his drafts have been pretty good. Pretty good. There's some good, there's some not so good, but I think he's been great at figuring out the cap, figuring out how to manipulate money. Nick's been fantastic at it. He's gotten some extensions done he's needed to get done. And the bottom line is he's built a team that he's worked with his head coach and built a team that his head coach wants.
Yep, they can compete.
They're clearly in lockstep.
Yep. Who's next, Al? Jerry's up. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I have really enjoyed the last hour of collectibles talk. I just thought it was really good and informative, and so much so it prompted a question I think the audience would enjoy, too. So just it's a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have in my possession a Sammy Baugh autograph on a Piggly Wiggly bag, and I wonder what you guys think that would go for.
Piggly Wiggly bag with Sammy Baugh's name?
Yeah.
A lot.
I have to think that's high dollar stuff. Yeah, I'm gonna say about 37,000.
Did he put slinging Sammy Baugh?
Did he
Baugh?
Put slinging with an apostrophe?
If he didn't have slinging on there, I'm not sure.
But
and it's
slinging
on a Piggly
Sammy
Wiggly
Baugh?
Bag,
and he's got the arm way way back like he used to throw it.
Well, behind his got it. Yeah, the football straight up in the air from behind his head. Yeah.
This is kind of past his playing days, but still authentic. He had traded it to my granddad for a bushel of sorghum.
What?
Now, is this something that I could sell directly to you guys, or would I need to contact that autograph feller?
The autograph feller?
Yeah. Kenny Duncan, celebrity mint in U.S. coins. Yeah,
that's where you'll get your
so
top
So good luck
dollar.
With that, Tony.
From that autograph feller.
Jerry.
I'm sorry, Jerry, not Tony. I'm sure it's Jerry.
It is Jerry.
Okay.
Hey, fellas.
I got a slinging Sammy Baugh.
Do you think he did really like the hour of autograph talk?
I get the feeling that Tony didn't love it. And it wasn't
saying,
an hour.
You keep
and it wasn't
saying
an
Tony.
Hour. Well, I'm sorry, Jerry.
We did come back with your segment about you.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And then you guys tried to challenge, and then Dell tried to challenge me. As
I just
far,
had some
did
questions.
I put the work in?
Yeah, I mean, you keep talking
I
about
I didn't put the work in, but I mean, most kids don't. Okay?
Ah, so, but you didn't even try.
Right.
Some kids would at least try. You did no work.
I did. I played in the street and in the yard. Mm-hmm. I didn't practice.
Man was like, you know what? I think I can be a Hall of Fame
punter.
Well,
wait a minute.
And do
I did practice,
about it.
But I was just me and my brother. And if my brother didn't want to play, I'd have to throw passes to myself. And we've all done that.
Right.
Where you take the ball, you throw it, and you run under and catch it.
Were you able to catch it?
Yeah, so I did actually put some work in, now that I think about it.
Right. Who's next, Del?
I'm going to believe this person who says their name is Paul. Just like I believe Jerry.
Does it say he wants to talk about autographs?
They've got a question for you.
Let's see.
Go ahead, Paul.
Hello, is this Mr. Lyons?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Lyons. I'm not kidding. I've been listening to you and Mr. Granado for years. Even I have a bunch of people with Mr. Granado. In 2005, at the corner of Fountain View and Richmond, there used to be a sticker broker.
And
he was giving tickets away.
Yep.
I was 15 years old. So I went there, I won the ticket, and I told Mr. Granado, he told me, woman. And then I told him, Mr. Granado, he said, I don't know, he had a face that he was upset. I said, can I get a picture with you? Yes, one minute, kid. He left. Bye, Mr. Granado. I know you're in the other side. I forgive you. One day I will meet you and I'll get my picture.
He was trying to get a picture with you at Jim Barr's Ticket Attractions, and he was trying to get a picture, and you said, one minute, and then you blazed out of there.
Bolted out of there.
You big-timed him.
I don't remember that. I must have.
Yeah.
I can't be nicer to the people, so.
Well,
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
I really don't, because, well, you come up, and we will take a picture. Okay, why don't you come to the listener appreciation party, and we'll get that picture, okay? Get his information,
Del. I'll do that.
We'll get your information.
Well, his information's up there. It's Paul.
His
Paul.
Name is Paul.
His information
Paul
is Paul.
When Paul meets you at the listener party.
The question is, how can I get a signature from all three of you guys? Are you three old guys going to be there?
Yes,
we'll all be at the listener.
We'll get a picture and a signature,
and we will sign.
Dell's not a Hall of Famer, though. He's going to have to sign something different.
Yeah,
than
I'm doing a signing there. I'll have a booth.
I only sign with Hall of Famers.
Yeah. After 20 years, Mr. Granado. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you at the party, Paul.
Let's get his information
if you get invited.
We're going to get. No, he's going to be. He's in.
In.
He's in.
Okay.
We're going to get him in. So he's going to be in. We're going to take pictures.
You're going to take
Mr.
pictures.
Mr. Granado, big time.
And you are going to, and Dell's going to sign, but something different because.
Ticket attractions. Have, 20 years ago.
You know
ago,
how
you
he's
going
to devalue our signatures? Dell would devalue
I would prefer
it.
It's like not to
tearing
be
the corner off
all.
A baseball card.
Frankly, right. That's not to devalue Paul's entire experience. I prefer not to be involved at all.
Well, he probably prefers that too. But.
So, cool. It's you two then. I'm out.
Okay.
Paul, you don't have to be time. Like that.
No, John concurs. I'll devalue Paul's experience. So I don't have to be there, at least for
it's
Paul.
It's true. It is true. All right. Unless he wants you in it, then, I mean, that's on him. Okay? That's
nice
on him.
Nice job, John. A young Paul. You change a young man's life by bolting on him, Irish goodbying him.
I don't,
good job.
I don't even remember that.
He remembers. It certainly struck a chord.
Know. Yeah. I don't know how.
I don't know how I drove away. I don't know how I left you. Yeah.
August 1st, 2016, which is tomorrow, August 1st, right? Is today August 1st?
Uh-huh.
Is today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow is August 1st.
Tomorrow is August 1st. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers today acquired right-handed reliever Josh Fields from the Astros in exchange for minor league first baseman Yordan Alvarez.
First baseman. Was Yordan was the first baseman?
Okay. Well, not here ever, which would solve a lot of problems if he was.
Like I said, there's an article that I read where there's a belief that they may have given the wrong Yordan away, that this a mistake may have been made.
Well,
in the Dodgers level, for they gave the wrong player away.
The whole thing was a mistake by the Dodgers. There couldn't have been a bigger mistake. There are very few bigger mistakes made in baseball history than Josh Fields for Yordan Alvarez. Very few.
Here, Dodgers traded the wrong Alvarez. Relief pitcher. Alvarez never played a minor league game for L.A. and turned into an MVP caliber player. The Astros. I know there's an article somewhere here. Is Dodgers Yordan Alvarez trade is one of the worst in Major League Baseball history.
Mm-hmm.
That came out just in June. But I know there was another. Here it is, the LA Times, back in 2019. They wrote an article about how they screwed up and gave away the wrong player. Too bad, so sad. And now, Eric Hosmer, Dale, you have you want to hear? Eric Hosmer was talking to Pat McAfee about Tarek Skubal. Did you, do you have that, Dale? I sent you the email on that one. He was on there talking about Skubal leaving and potentially becoming a Dodger, right? Because now the Dodgers are loaded. Their minor league system is absolutely loaded. If they wanted to add a Yordan or a Skubal or a Jeremy Pena or really anybody else, they could if they wanted to, because they just are packed with prospects in the top 100 and several pretty good ones. And Eric Hosmer is on Pat McAfee's show talking about Skubal leaving the Tigers. And this is what I really don't like about baseball. See, this doesn't happen in pro football. Because of the TV deal, because of the parity, there's really no such thing as, like, we just can't hang it to our players. You don't have that. You have a real cap in place, and that doesn't happen. Here's Eric Hosmer on Pat McAfee talking about the Skubal situation.
Skubal leaving is a big part of this entire new negotiation that's happening, right? And especially if he goes to the Dodgers, it's going to be really loud. What do you think about baseball? You said it's fine. I agree. More interest, but it does feel like we're at a tipping point, no? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, I said it's fine, but it's not fine at all, Pat. I'm kind of panicking. I'm not lying. I'm not going to lie about this situation, because first and foremost, we don't know what's going to happen next year. But the Skubal situation, I mean, this is where the Tigers, honestly, I think the day that they became – $10 to $15 million apart in arbitration, that's the day they knew they were going to trade Skubal, because this is the situation. When you come up as a small market team, Max Clark, he's a young star out there. Boxy, you got to know all about him. Apparently, Detroit's calling him up today. So when he gets called up today, the team has you for 7 years right now, is what the current CBA is. And usually those first 4 years, you got the rookie salary, and then the last three, you go to arbitration. Once the players start going to arbitration, that's when you start making big money. So what these small market teams do is that first year of arbitration, they try to lock a guy like Tarek Skubal down before that, because that's when they know they're going to get expensive. And if they're not able to lock him down, that's when the GMs in the front office know, hey, okay, this is where we're going to have to get a return for our investment. So now you guys were at the Derby promoting the game, which is awesome. And you saw Junior Caminero out there.
Yeah.
Allegedly, the Angels could have traded Ohtani to Tampa and got in return Junior Caminero. So obviously you see that set back that franchise a lot. So the Detroit Tigers cannot let Tarek Skubal walk out of that building and not get anything in return. And it's pretty obvious that they're not getting a deal done.
Yeah. That's why you have to trade these guys before they walk. You can't just let this caliber of player walk. And the Astros will trade Jeremy Pena. Like, they're not going to not trade him. They'll trade him. They traded Kyle.
Well, they've let plenty of guys walk.
Yeah, but not Kyle. The last one that went out was Kyle and Kyle Tucker, and they understood they had to get something for Kyle Tucker. I think they'll understand that here with Jeremy Pena, too. I just don't think they can. They're not going to do it at the trade deadline, but in the offseason, I think they'll move off of Jeremy Pena.
I can't trust any of these guys that are – I mean, Mark DeRosa is trading Yordan to the Yankees, and he's got Pena going here. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What exactly are you talking about? And this is how the Astros can reload and be, in the future, be an organization to fear. No.
But that's not how they operate.
But there's no way you give Yordan to the Yankees. I don't care what the Yankees, what prospects the Yankees are giving you. You don't give Yordan to the Yankees.
I'd trade him to the Dodgers. If you were going to trade him and it was National League and they got the best prospects, go on then. Go to the National League. Go on then.
No.
What did Billy used to say? Go on then.
Yeah, no. We ain't giving Yordan to the Dodgers or the Yankees or anyone else for that matter, okay? Yordan is staying put. We got an MVP.
Until his contract's up.
Well, after 29? I mean, after...
It ain't that far away.
Or 28?
28? Yeah, 2 more years after this year? Ooh, that's a long time.
Yeah, it is.
Not
we
really.
We got that much more Yordan to watch, yes.
It was literally – that's less time than when C.J. Stroud was a really good quarterback.
Oh, my God. Stop already.
No, I'm just you
want to trade Yordan right now?
No, not right now.
Okay.
I mean, you'd get a ton. You get a ton for him. You get a ton in the offseason, but they're not going to – that guy's a – that's a ticket seller, so you're not going to do that.
Are you going to trade Jeremy right now?
He's having such an incredible season. I would listen. I would listen on Jeremy Pena. He's hurt all the time, but he's hitting like a monster. You probably would never have as much in-season leverage as you have right now with Jeremy Pena. And you could get multiple. But if you got multiple suitors, I'd listen. You'd be a fool not to listen. If somebody wants to call you about Yordan, go ahead. What are you thinking? I'd listen. And then you just say no at the end. But if somebody does something, you're like, holy crap, I can't believe this is what we're getting. On Jeremy Pena, I'd consider it, but you know you're in a position right now where you have so much momentum going right now, and Jeremy Pena is such a big part of it that you really can't realistically. You've made up so much ground. This division is such booty squirts. Like you have to, they're just terrible. This division is just an atrocity. They should disband the whole division and just relegate everybody. It's awful. It's awful. The Angels and A's should absolutely be relegated. I don't know where. I guess to AAA. I don't. Maybe just disband them and have a draft, and we get all the players from those two teams. This is just an embarrassment of a division, an absolute embarrassment.
Stop already. Who cares if you get in the playoffs? Anything can happen. No, who cares?
Not really.
Yeah, Hunter Brown. Lambert.
What's the last bad baseball team that really came out of nowhere and won a title?
Worst records to win the title. There have been plenty. Colorado got there.
They weren't bad. They had Randy Johnson and
no in Colorado. I'm talking about.
I'm thinking Arizona. Yeah. Colorado
got
good.
There, but
did
they did, they lost to the
it
Red
was 2006,
Sox.
2006, the Cardinals were 83-78 and won
How
the
about
World
that?
Series. Of course, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
83.
Now, since then,
in St. Louis.
The Giants, 2024, went 88-74 and then won the World Series.
14 games over.
The Nationals.
It's quite a bit different than what we're dealing Nationals, with in this division.
See, they started terribly.
Yeah, the Nationals
But they wound up 93-69, so they were a good baseball team.
Yeah. This is not the same.
The 2021 Braves, we remember them, right?
Yeah.
They were 88-73, so still 15 games over 500. The Astros getting to 15 games over 500?
Oh, yeah. No. They're 11 games over 500 since May 20th.
In totality.
And listen.
Are they getting to 15 games over 500?
Yes.
No, they're not. And they're doing this in a terrible division, so they got some really rottens that they're getting to play.
12 games over 500 they'll be when it's all said and done.
How many games left do they have?
They have 60? No, 55? 50, right in that neighborhood. 52. They're 55 and 55. They got 52 games left.
So what do you have them at?
I got them 12 games over 500.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said okay.
That's right.
We don't take your stuff serious.
Never have, actually.
No.
Okay, we'll see. The Astros, and I told you guys before that they were going to have a winning record, and they did.
The Astros are 13.
They don't have a winning record.
No, no, no. I told you guys before, and you guys were so worried about it.
And you also said they would lead the division.
And you guys doubt. You guys hate
all the time. You said they would lead the division going into the All-Star.
You always, always, always doubt the Astros.
The Astros are 13-18 against division opponents. That's after sweeping the Angels.
After sweeping the Angels? They're still that bad?
They were 10-18.
Wow. So maybe we should be looking forward to it.
Watch this weekend, pal. Silver boot.
The last time you were talking this way.
This is a huge silver boot.
Yes. The last time you were talking this way about a silver boot series, the Astros lost 2 out of 3.
So against the Rangers, they're 6-4. Against the Mariners, they're 1-7. Against the Angels, they're 6-7. Oh, the Angels and A's combined, they're 6-7. How is that true? They're 6-7 against the Angels and A's combined?
Well, they split the opening series of the season against the Angels, and then they lost. Then they lost the second one, and now look where they are. They took a sweep. They got a sweep.
And they got the A's 4 games to finish the season. Seattle 2, and then
the
A's.
You're talking, those 4 games ain't going to matter.
Sacramento.
The way you're talking, those 4 games not even going to matter.
Not even going to matter. It's not going to matter. It's not. They'll have the division
the Nationals
in hand.
The Nationals had 93 wins when they beat the Astros.
That's what AI Overview says.
Okay. Yeah, they started terrible, but who cares if they started terrible?
Yeah, they were a great
baseball
team.
They got to 93
just
wins.
Like this team started terrible. And then?
They're not getting the 93
wins. And then they're
wins.
Almost over 500.
Wait a minute. Do you think they're how many wins do you think they're going to win? Get to?
They're going to get to 88. 87.
I can see 87. 80, 84
and 75.
84 and 78 is reasonable.
87
He's got
and 75.
It better than that.
Watch
12 games over 500.
And you know where you can bet that? You can bet it at the DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
That's true.
That's what you can do. All right, you can bet that at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Well, when you go do your fantasy draft there, you do your fantasy draft, bet Astros postseason, and win. Do something different for your fantasy draft this year. How about going to the DraftKings Sportsbook? It's awesome. We've done ours there. We did it last year. We're going to do it again this year on August 27th. Hey, pick that weekend. Get on over there. Spend a night. Have your draft that night. Spend the night over. Go swimming with the family. Go play golf with your boys, with everybody in the draft. You go play poker with everybody, gamble blackjack with your boys, dinners. It's nonstop, and it's the best way to do your fantasy draft. They've got draft packages available, including buckets of beer, pizzas, wing, food credits, and more. You're looking for a great way to do your draft as opposed to the just boring a bunch of guys bringing their laptops. Boring. Get on over to the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Just 2 hours and 15. You're the commissioner of the league. Send out an email today telling everybody we're doing it at DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's go, boys. Go to goldennugget.com/Lake Charles. goldennugget.com/Lake Charles.
It's
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we got what did you learn this week on the show in one sentence? And we also got what did you miss? How about Tari Eason? We missed this. Tari Eason is looking for protection from the state of California after he claims his ex-girlfriend sought revenge on him following an argument. And almost $100,000 worth of property damage. Apparently, model Marilyn Maritza Melo Rodriguez went back to his rental following an argument, poured bleach on over $92,000 worth of his designer clothes. Oh. She punched him in the face.
Wow.
And he says, anytime that we play in California, I need protection against her.
Oh, wow.
She punched him in the face after a ride home, after which he says she doubled back to his rental home to ruin his clothes.
I'm looking at her Instagram.
$92,000 worth of clothes.
You won't be surprised, Lance.
No.
You won't
You've already been there? No.
She's influencing. I've Googled her name. So Tari had some social media activity that caught people by surprise earlier this week. I don't want to get into it because I don't know what he was referencing. People were taking their guesses. They thought it was involving this woman, and now we have this. I believe it was written in the report that she's 32, he's 25, so certainly he was a little younger when they met. This isn't the same.
He learned that from Jalen.
The extent of the Jalen one where she was 40, I think. I don't know if they're still together, but this is
a kid his age.
The assassins. This is what we talked about with Jalen. She would be classified as one of those assassins. She found Tari. She goes, you know what? That's an NBA baller. This is how this goes sometimes, unfortunately. Sometimes it works out, and then sometimes you get this. But, you know, Tari's what? He went to LSU. I don't know where he's from. But a woman of this caliber wants to meet you. It's kind of a lock cinch that Tari's going to reciprocate some type of feelings, and then you get the awfulness that comes afterwards, unfortunately, sometimes. I don't know, man. It's a cottage industry.
It is something that is dealt with, it seems like, in basketball more than any other sport.
But does she have to pour acid on his clothes?
I don't know.
Bleach. It was just bleach.
It
wasn't
bleach,
acid.
John.
It's just garden variety bleach that ruins everything. Okay. $92,000 worth of clothes.
Wow. All right, let's get, what did you learn this week in one sentence? What did you learn this week on the show in one sentence? Who's first, Del?
We start with Elliot. Elliot, what have you learned?
Morning, guys. What I was going to say I learned this week on the show is that the Astros are the cockroaches of baseball, but then Lance dropped that beautiful booty squirts line, and that's officially been added to my arsenal.
Yeah.
Booty squirt division.
You just learned that this week. He's used that a couple
times.
Booty
squirt? No, he's been saying booty.
He's been said booty squirt.
Hey, maybe the first time he's heard.
All right, booty squirt division. Okay. I'm with you on that. It is a booty squirt division.
It is. I mean, there's no way around it.
No, but the Astros
Just be the best
the
of the squirts.
The Astros are the cockroaches of baseball.
That's all you got to be.
That's all you got
to
do.
Just get into the tournament and see what happens.
713-780-3776. Who's next, Del?
Ryan wants to tell us what he's learned.
Hey, fellas, good morning. I learned, you know, I'm actually kind of a great guy. I'm a good guy.
He learned that about himself.
But that's not what he learned on the show. He didn't learn that from this show.
We didn't say
he was a great guy.
Unless he actually heard that for the first time this week.
But it had to
actually a great guy.
It would have had to have been on the show.
Yeah, I don't think he learned that about himself.
He didn't learn that.
Not about himself.
That's not
he's
how this
a great
is.
Guy.
No.
I'm
not how
actually
it goes.
A great guy.
It was a disgusting performance.
Do better, Ryan.
Do better. I didn't.
No one here said he was a great guy. He didn't learn that.
I learned this week that Art can't keep my name out of his Twitter mouth whenever I'm out away from the show.
He did mention you somewhat.
I'm on his mind.
But also today, when you're on the show, he had words for you today.
I haven't looked at Twitter yet.
Oh, Twitter. found a particular segment very interesting.
Oh, okay. I'll have to find out which one it is.
Your biggest fans, Cup fan Timmy, Art, and others, really responded
you
to
know,
the...
I don't have anything on Cup fan Timmy. I may have muted him, but...
Possibly.
I think it's just because he just got so... He hated everything we ever did. Like, he's a longtime listener, but for years, he's just, this sucks. This is terrible. Never have that person on again. Never talk basketball again. Football's over. Ugh. Texans suck. I don't want to hear Texans. It just got so negative. Everything was so negative. Like, that's just a little too, like, it's just too much. It's too much if you're always negative about everything.
Yeah. I mean, let's be positive. Like, oh, you mean about you with the Astros? Yeah. Boom. Boom. Boom.
I'm happy for him right now.
Let's go to Chris.
I mean, I don't take them serious as a contender. Championship contender.
But they can win the division, sure.
Yeah, but we've got to play the games out. Like, I want them to win in a regular season. I don't, you know, the long-term hope isn't really high for me. But, you know, this is the 26th season, so we'll see what happens.
Chris wants to tell us what he's learned. Chris, what'd you learn?
Hey guys, I don't know. It was more of what we missed today. I don't know if you guys already spoke or not. About it or not, but the Houston Gamblers are gone. Thank you, guys.
Yep.
We got that call in a different tone from Sonny. He was kind of dancing on
what's
Houston's
wrong
grave.
With Houston. Yeah, like he was taking shots at us. No Birmingham and no Houston anymore.
I don't want to be in the same grouping as Birmingham, honestly. I don't like it.
You know, this is my city. I love the city. I've been here my whole life, but honestly, I'm not going to lie. I've seen how the city, I mean, when you're not, it's not like they're just going to go check you out. If you're not playing well, we will check out on you quick. In terms of attendance, it is not hard to say bye-bye.
It's a minor league. We're not a minor league city. We're just not.
That's true. But I do, I legitimately have concerns that Houston will be hot for us, a hockey team, for 2 years, maybe even 3 years. And then it will be like, zip.
That hockey team better be the Vegas Knights.
That hockey team better be really good. Be good quick. Or Dallas Stars. Minnesota North Stars. When they went to Dallas, I think they won a championship their first year in Dallas. That helps.
How about this unbelievable? Red Sox record through 108 games. 2023, they were 57-51. 2024, they were 57-51. 2025, 57-51. 2026, 57-51. Four straight years, they have the same record through 108 games.
That's what they do.
That's crazy. You can't. There's no way that happens. That is nuts. That is nuts. And, yeah, the Vlad Guerrero thing is nuts. Zero home runs at home.
It was 99. That these Stars won thanks to Brett Hull.
Was that their first year in there?
No, it was six years into their time in
Dallas.
It was
6 years? I think they were good, though, right off the bat. I'm almost positive they were good right off the bat. Because it's a discussion I've had that you may have to win quickly in Houston. You may have to win quickly in Houston if you're a hockey team. Because we're going to support football, basketball, baseball, hockey, and WNBA.
Yeah,
really? We're going to support all those?
Right. Vegas won right away. The Stars won right away. You got to win right away. Otherwise, you got to get the excitement up there really quick. Although the Stars have fallen off because they're just, you know.
Yeah, but Dallas, they're locked in. Like Dallas is, I've talked to some of their hosts in the past, and I ask about hockey, and they say, yeah, we just, some of them like Bob Sturm, he came from, was it Bob Sturm? He came from, I think he's from Wisconsin originally, so he already had some hockey background. But those guys took to hockey very quickly, and it did become part of the radio up there in Dallas, because they were good right away.
They did make the 94 playoffs in their first season, so. But they were an established team, so they just came from Minnesota. Let's go to Dan. He wants to tell us what he's learned. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. I learned that Lance led a delegation of scouting experts over to our division rival Jaguars because Casario did not kiss the ring.
That's right. Yeah. Well, he didn't kiss
Casario
the ring.
Didn't
he
bend just... the knee, so you went over to James Gladstone?
Right. Yeah. That's right. The North remembers.
How about this? You brought all the Texan secrets over to the Jack. You are...
How would I know the Texan secrets?
A double spy.
Duval.
How would I know the Texan secrets? All the practices go on when I'm on the air.
Oh, my God.
But you're giving them the best ways to beat the Texans.
How? I don't
know.
Yeah. You're all your secrets.
I didn't even talk to them.
You analyzed
the Texans. I didn't even talk in any of the meetings. Well, it was a meeting. I mean, it was. I was there one day doing that, basically.
Yeah. Giving them all your secrets.
You analyzed the Texans daily, well. And you gave them how you think it's best, the best ways to beat the Texans.
No, I think they know better than I think they know better than me.
I'm sure you didn't dissuade them from any of their views on how to beat the Texans. You didn't give them bad information.
Texans never came up. It was only we were talking
Lies.
About. Or they were talking about safeties.
Why do you think you're there, you patsy? Why do you think you're there?
If you actually saw what was done, you'd be like, oh. Yeah, Texans didn't even come up. I just noticed where they were ranked on the rosters, pretty high on total rosters. I saw that. I took note of that, but yeah.
Should've.
No, I didn't do no, Casario, like I like Casario as a GM fine. I think he's been good, not great. But no, I'm just saying nobody has that unless you're there are people who are on 6'10 that have a relationship with Nick. I mean, you kind of have to kiss that ring if we're being honest. Nick gets a little bit of a red ass if you've heard him. You heard him, John. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care for the media. I mean, he's a Patriot guy. That's fine. That's how those guys are. They're super paranoid and they don't really like anybody that is with the quote unquote media. Mm-hmm. And that's just how it is. I mean, unless you are in the inner circle and then you have to be very favorable too.
We got let's go to one more call, last call
just,
of the
all
week.
I care about, just win games.
Chris, what did you learn from the show this week?
Yo, it's Tongue Dart, Chris. I learned this week that no matter what C.J. Stroud wears, he's going to look like a pudgy stud trying to parking lot pimp.
No, why would he say pudgy stud? Trying to park.
John, are you aware
pimp?
With the vernacular stud in the way that Chris is using it?
No, I don't.
Stud is...
It's not the way you originally learned
it. No, it is a reference to... How do you put this?
It's used frequently in WNBA
circles for a woman, certainly, who is interested in other women. Like, the stud might have short hair or braids in some instances, but it's not like, oh... I don't know, name an action star that you like. That guy's a stud or a player that you like. It's a different version. That's what CJ's catching from some people. Or at least Tongue Dart Chris. Like stud buds. It's kind of a thing with the WNBA where they have, I don't know, they might even have a podcast or something. But that is what Tongue Dart Chris is saying, which I don't know that CJ would like very much.
He's basically saying CJ looked like a lesbian.
Yes.
He looks like he's a lesbian.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
To our about our quarterback.
But an athletic one. At least that's what the studs are in the WNBA. They're athletic.
Yeah. Are they?
Yes,
are
they play a, yeah, yes, that, they're professional athletes.
Yeah, in their division, yeah. I mean, where they play, yeah.
Are you though?
Well, you're at the top of the sport, so I would say you're athletic.
Yeah, they are.
Well,
somebody said something about the there's plenty of elite WNBA athletes whose feet are duck footed.
They're more athletic than most.
Yeah. I saw somebody say who was protecting CJ said, I've seen plenty of, there are plenty of elite athletes who are slew footed walkers and walk with duck feet. Like, first of all, he's not an elite athlete. Don't say elite athlete. He is a below average athlete. Now I'm using athleticism. So I'm sure this guy just meant athlete, like a pro football player, a player of sports. But he may have said elite athleticism. There is no world where CJ is right now an elite quarterback, and definitely not an elite athlete with that or athleticism. That's not the case.
You don't say that about a guy who we constantly say has to win from the pocket.
Yeah, no, not quarterbacks like that.
No.
We definitely don't use the phrase elite.
No,
not.
Not elite athlete, no.
He's an elite quarterback.
No, he's not.
Well, at least this year. Yes, he is.
No,
he's not. Top 16 in the world.
Who, CJ?
Yeah.
Who says?
What are you talking about?
Top 16 in the world.
In the world.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
Did he look like that in the playoffs?
Even if he's top 32 in the world, that's elite.
Let's not do that. Relative to who he's playing against, is he one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL?
He's elite in the world.
Cut it out. We don't care about the world. I don't care about the high schooler at North Shore. What about the other guys he's competing against in the NFL?
I'm talking about the whole world.
Good.
Go to Japan. Find a better quarterback.
That's actually fair.
Good. Rank him against those guys. What about the guys?
Go to China.
So would you – okay, he's an elite quarterback. You want to pay – since he's elite, pay him $62 million a year?
That's fine. I'll pay him whatever.
You're not
going to
pay him.
You're not kicking in $100.
You're not kicking in anything.
You're not kicking in nothing.
You're not donating anything.
You sold off all your tickets, turncoat.
I paid for years in that for that organization.
You paid for Deshaun Watson. Now pay for CJ.
I'm paying for CJ. I already paid. I paid my dues already. You haven't paid anything.
I didn't call him an elite quarterback.
You never paid while CJ was quarterback.
Neither of you. I paid way more to that organization.
Not while CJ
was
quarterback.
You want to pay him $60 million. I don't want to. So you pay him.
No.
Yeah,
I don't want
to.
I don't care what he gets.
Texans are sending something by mail. You can just mail in a $4,000 check. Kick in your part.
I already paid my part. Thank you. Good night.
While CJ is quarterback.
Yeah. I don't care. Then they should have saved my money.
Would you like to buy another PSL?
They should have saved it.
They would like to sell you a PSL to Toro Town.
Toro District.
Toro Town.
Would you like a PSL there, sir?
Yes, I would.
$3,800.
$3,800
for your seat in the practice stadium.
Okay, go to break. We got a break before we hit news of the world. We're done, okay? This is done.
Actually done.
I don't know.
Actually, there's no reason to do anything.
Well, we got breaks to get to.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Who are you?
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zadok's. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
85-year-old Knott's Landing star Donna Mills is revealing what she'll show off on new OnlyFans account. Are you going to go and sign up for Donna Mills' OnlyFans account?
No.
85 years old. I'm not sure she's going to make a big living there. I'm not sure. Heidi Klum wore a thong bikini to promote her new potato chip. Do you want to eat that potato chip
now? What's the name
now?
Of the company?
The new company is...
happens when he doesn't read the entire article.
Chips Frisch. Chips Frisch.
So it's a German...
Apparently.
Chip brand? Yes. I may not be able to get it. It might only be in Germany. That's what it looks like. So I won't have access to the Heidi Klum chips.
Heidi Klum and her. By the way, there was just a picture of her daughter on a boat. Heidi Klum's got good genes. Heidi Klum, not guilty. Not guilty. Okay? I don't care what she did. She's not guilty.
Still not guilty.
Still not guilty. I don't care what she does. Not guilty.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's accurate.
All right. All right, we're done because we're way past again now, thanks to Dell. He does this every time.
I didn't do it yesterday.
Our weekend to start late.
Notice how this didn't happen yesterday, so you're blaming it. So what happened? What's the different variable?
Well, there is. There's a common denominator on hidden late breaks.
Yeah.
Even when he wasn't on the show, he still made us late for a break.
That wasn't me.
Yeah.
You're desperate to talk about CJ and his... oversized shorts and made us late for a break when you weren't even on the show.
Yeah, I did make y'all late when I wasn't even on the show. That's true, I did.
That is true. Alright, we're done. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday when the Astros will be in first place all by themselves.
ESPN 97.5.
Bye, babe.